Welcome to Dear Jane. I'm Scott Baker, and she is Marcy Little. Marcy, how are you doing?
Great. Excited for today's conversation.
Yeah, it's going to be cool because it's kind of, I will confess to being one of those kind of close-minded North American or so hyper-focused on what's happening here in the United States that it's easy to kind of not pay attention to what's happening globally in terms of the fight for life and all that sort of thing. Well, we're gonna intentionally sort of go international today on Dear Jane.
Yeah, it's exciting. Get ready. I am somewhat, you know, more familiar than a lot of people with international pro-life ministry. I've worked with Raul closely on different things for years, and even I was shocked by some of the statistics and information that he shares. He's just a wealth of information. I think you're going to learn a lot on today's episode.
Well, and what he has to say with why Americans should care with what's happening in Africa, for example, well, and we're going to focus on Africa because he's written a book, The African Awakening, Bringing the Message of Life to the World, where you can get it at Amazon and book suppliers near you. He makes a very compelling argument and kind of convicting to me why people, Americans, should care more and the role the United States plays in promoting abortion across the country. So we'll get to that. It's going to be good. First, let's make sure we mention our sponsor, our friends at Choose Life Marketing.
Choose Life Marketing, if you work for a pro-life ministry, whether that's a pregnancy center or other type of organization, and you need help getting your message in front of the right people, Choose Life Marketing can help. I know that in your role, whether you're the executive director or you work on staff at a pro-life ministry, you're probably wearing multiple hats. You're probably spinning lots of plates and working to serve the people that you serve. And marketing probably feels like one extra thing that you know you should think about and you know you should have a plan for, but maybe it's just difficult to plan for. Choose Life Marketing can help. They have a team of over 70 pro-life, passionate pro-life team members that work with them that will be dedicated to your campaign to get your message out there, whether that's to help you raise money or bring more clients through the doors or whatever your goals are, Choose Life Marketing can help. So check them out today, ChooseLifeMarketing.com.
Raul Reyes, who heads up Life Equip Global and also has written this book recently, The African Awakening, Bringing the Message of Life to the World. Our guest today here on Dear Jane. Raul, thanks for joining us today. Always fun to talk to you, our good friend. So you recently went to Africa. Tell us about that trip and what you learned from it.
Well, you know, I was in Africa last month in Zambia, actually. The Association for Life of Africa, that's AFLA, is there, and they have a conference every 2 years. And I was privileged to be one of the keynote speakers there. And we were able to teach pregnancy center directors and pastors from 16 different countries throughout all of Africa.
Why Africa?
Why Africa? Wow. Well, that kind of sets me up, doesn't it? Because I've just written a book about Africa. In fact, the book is called The African Awakening. Because there are more Christians in Africa than any other continent on earth. Over 700 million Christians in Africa. Because the church is growing faster in Africa than on any other continent on earth. And because what my book really talks about, God is going to be using Africa in the most amazing way to bring his message of Christ and of life to virtually every country around the world.
Tell us about Africa when it comes to abortion. What are the abortion rates? Are there pregnancy centers there? What does the network look like in terms of supporting women just across the continent?
You know, it's really interesting. Africa, now we have 54 countries in Africa, right? And we have about 1.2 to 1.3 billion people. So it's just a huge number of people. And Africa, I think, is still very traditional in that they're very family-oriented. Many of the countries in Africa have made abortion illegal. But in spite of that, and maybe because of that, countries like the United States and England are really targeting Africa, and they are really, there's a huge battle going on. In fact, Africa actually has about 8 million baby boys and girls killed by abortion each and every year. Now, with 1.2 billion people and 8 million abortions, they only have 300 pregnancy centers. Wow. So there's a huge battle going on right now between those who believe in family, those who believe in life, those who believe in the value of life, and those who believe that is a it is a basic right for a woman to terminate her pregnancy. Of course, the problem is you cannot terminate a pregnancy without terminating the life of a developing human being.
So many pregnancy centers, in at least in North America, are sponsored, or at least they get their origins in the church. What is the church situation over in Africa, and are they equipped to really support any kind of meaningful pro-life or pregnancy center network?
You know, we have to kind of define a pregnancy center, and now you're talking about a network. What we have to do when we go to a place like Africa is we have to redefine what happens in a pregnancy center that is transformational and life-saving is that a person with a great need, a great crisis, sits down with a person with a great heart who is in love with Jesus and in love with the person in front of her, and amazing things happen as somebody who doesn't have a lot of information learns knowledge, learns hope, learns truth, and then lives are saved. What happens in that counseling room in a pregnancy center can happen absolutely anywhere. So you don't need to have a building. You don't have to have a facility. What we're looking for then is pregnancy ministries versus a pregnancy center. So in Africa, because yes, you do have some incredibly sophisticated cities there, very advanced infrastructure, but when you move out of the cities, then you're looking at significant poverty and a whole different kind of scenario. But there are huge numbers of churches. So my ministry, Life Equipped Global, exists to do one thing, and that is to equip the church with sanctity of human life training. So then the church will respond however the Lord will have them respond. And so we kind of identified about seven major different kind of pregnancy ministry models. And a pregnancy center is one of the pregnancy ministry models. But if you have one person that's trained, right, just like our client advocates are at a pregnancy center, if you have one person in one church, then you can have a pregnancy ministry. So really the vision that I believe God has given us is that we need to help birth and multiply 10,000 pregnancy ministries throughout the continent of Africa.
Yeah. I love that vision. I want to get back to just abortion numbers and statistics for a little bit. I'm curious, I know the reasons why women give for having abortions here in the United States. I'm curious, what are the reasons similar in Africa? Why is it that women seek out abortions in the first place?
I think that is the question. And I think that's such a great, great question. And I think you're absolutely right that the reasons why a person might choose to have an abortion in the United States or in a very developed nation are going to be significantly different than the reasons why somebody in a developing country would choose an abortion. What's really kind of heartbreaking is that in Africa, the majority of abortions of women deciding to have an abortion, it's really not women deciding to have an abortion. It's usually a husband that says 3 children, 4 children is enough, 5 children, and I want you to have an abortion. It's still a very patriarchal culture. And men have an awful lot of power and authority, and women do not. So overwhelmingly, I would say the number of abortions are driven by men. Now, of course, again, just like every other place on earth, education, which is a great thing, right? Education is multiplying. But what Satan has been able to do is that he has used the universities as the way that he is able to share his corrupt, perverted views on life. And so many of the universities who really listen to and are influenced by the universities in the United States or in Western Europe, they bring this mentality that if you really want to be an independent woman, a free woman, someone who makes her own decisions, then you have to be free to make all reproductive decisions, which of course includes, in fact, embraces abortion. So there is a challenge, but again, an opportunity. And the challenge is that we need to help women to move away from that patriarchal way of thinking, but we have to help them understand that killing your baby does not bring you freedom. In fact, killing your baby, an abortion never erases a pregnancy. Now, in addition to the unplanned pregnancy, you're going to carry with you the burden, the heartbreak of knowing that you chose to end the life of your baby boy or your baby girl.
It's really... Sorry, I'm going to jump in a follow-up.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Something you said earlier made me ask that question just about, I think you said something about women's rights, and that didn't strike me as an African continent original idea. Mm-hmm. And so it's sad to hear you talk about these ideas from the West infiltrating a continent like Africa. I'm assuming more of the abortions are happening in more of the developing countries in Africa. Since you mentioned it's happening at the university level, that these ideas are seeping in. But I was going to ask about, is that something we've exported to Africa?
Oh, absolutely. Not only have we exported it, it gets to the realm of science fiction. Mm-hmm. Like, you can hardly believe the reality of what's going on. Organizations like USAID have invested tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, into promoting the idea that reproductive rights, which is abortion, is a basic right, and actually using American dollars, your dollars and mine, to bribe the governments. And so this has been going on for decades, especially whenever there's a democratic government in charge. It tends to be less so when there is a Republican government in charge. But what they will say is, hey, listen, I've got a grant for you, $10 million, $20 million, $30 million, $50 million. And you can use this grant however you want. It'll be great for agriculture. You can strengthen your medical systems, your educational systems. All you need to do is you need to start teaching reproductive rights. Which, of course, part of it sounds wonderful. Okay, reproductive rights. But that means you've got to be promoting sexual freedom. You've got to be promoting the extensive use of contraceptives. And you've got to be promoting abortions. And we, especially Planned Parenthood and Marie Stopes, so Western organizations are going there. And I think under the guise of we want to help women because they're so poor. But the reality is you have 1.2 billion people, half of them are women. And that's a lot of potential customers if we can get them to be very sexually licentious. And then, of course, the resulting unplanned pregnancies, then we can sell them abortions. And we are literally making hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars that are being taken from Africa and are being made on the broken lives, the broken pieces of little African baby boys and baby girls.
Planned Parenthood expanding into Africa would seem to be them carrying on the Margaret Sanger vision, actually, in a perverse kind of way. Now would be we're going to take a break, and you said 54 countries in Africa. Marcy's going to name those for us.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, Marcy, go ahead.
I plead the fifth.
Yeah. I like to put her on the spot from time to time. It's entertaining for me if no one else. So Raul, so tell us, you talk about how there are so many abortions in Africa, but there are also a lot of countries that outlaw them, right?
Yes.
You said. So how's that happening? Is chemical abortion big over there yet? Or sort of walk us through that.
Well, first of all, in any country, it doesn't matter really what the law says. What matters is the law enforced? Right? So I was in, and so, and by the way, abortion is a global issue. 1% of abortions happen in the United States. 1%. The rest of them happen outside of the United States. We have 73 million, according to Alan Guttmacher, which is not the most reliable source, but it's what we have. According to them, it's 73 million abortions that happen a year. But I'm sorry, what was that question again? I just lost my train of thought. I
mean, well, just thinking about so many abortions in Africa, but yet the laws say...
Yes, the laws.
And yeah, so how's it going? And I'm also curious about chemical abortion and its presence.
Yes, and that's so. Yeah, I was saying I went to Brazil not too long ago, and they were saying, "Oh, abortion is illegal here." And I said, "Well, how many abortion clinics are there in Sao Paulo?" "Oh, we have 50. We have 50 abortion clinics." So yes, there are absolutely a number of key countries in Africa that have outlawed abortion, but unless you enforce that, and they really, the governments, I don't think really have the mechanism by which to enforce that. Abortions are absolutely widespread. The central part of Africa has the highest rate of maternal mortality as a result of abortions. And of course, those who promote abortions are saying, this is why we have to have safe abortions. No, we say this is why we have to have no abortions. Their solution to women dying from abortions is trying to have safe abortions, which is a misnomer because there's always a human being that's killed in an abortion. But the reality is we need to move away. We need to make abortions unthinkable and unnecessary, right? But yes, there's really three different kinds of abortion. Abortions fall into three categories. They are chemical, they are surgical, or they are traditional. Traditional abortions are used all over the world, but not anywhere near the level that we have done since the 1950s, since we invented the DNC or the suction abortion, right? But traditional abortions have to do with either massaging the womb in a very vigorous way, or drinking teas, or using different herbs to poison the child, but they also often result in the mother dying as a result of being poisoned. In terms of surgical abortions, obviously in the more developed cities in Africa, just like everywhere else, it's very, very common. But yes, what we are seeing is a huge influx of the pill, the abortion pill, which is really a two-pill process that is being used. And again, when there's so many problems with the abortion pill. Part of it is that now, instead of there being hardly any medical intervention, now a person is taking a pill to go home. And are they taking the right number of pills? Kids are making a business out of this because you can get the pills online. So it's like, oh, well, I'll go to the school and instead of selling drugs, right, I'll be the local provider for abortion pills. And somebody says, hey, if one pill is good, then two is going to be better, right? And the pill is supposed to be used only up to the 10th week. But there's no way of controlling that. And especially when you're talking about teenagers or young adults, they're not going to follow. So the idea that you may be taking multiple pills that's going to cause huge contraction and hemorrhaging, and you're going to be home now and delivering this tiny baby by yourself. So that the physical potential damage is much, much greater, and the emotional damage is catastrophic because now you're not sitting in some hospital where the doctor kind of sucks the baby out of your room and you never see it. Now you're actually in your bathroom or in your living room or wherever, and you are actually delivering your tiny baby, but it's still a human being with legs, arms, everything there, and you're actually seeing that. And so the emotional damage of these chemical abortions, these medical abortions, is something that we've never even thought about, and one that women are experiencing, and one that we frankly need to learn. How do we help these women to heal from the catastrophe of these abortion pill abortions?
Wow. It's wild to hear you say, because I think perhaps in any country, you tend to focus on your country's problems and your issues. And so it's eye-opening for me to even hear you say the abortions here are 1% of the abortions worldwide. Because it feels like such a big problem here. And obviously, the loss of any life is a problem. I'm curious, and I think you've given a lot of good reasons already, but I'm curious what your message would be to Americans who maybe have either never thought about international ministry, or maybe they think abortion care, like pro-life ministry, or maybe they say, we got to get our own house in order first. Like, why are we trying to solve the abortion issue in other parts of the world when it's such a big issue here? What would you say to people who may think that?
And I do find that, especially Christians in the U.S., we have a limited amount of concern for what's going on outside of our borders. And I can understand that. I think that that's probably true for most people wherever they live. You know, we tend to think about where we are. Well, the first reason is simple, because it's the number one mission of every Christian, is to go and make disciples of all nations. This is the great commandment. This is the mission of every single human being. So now Jesus, he's got his disciples around him, right? And he's got his followers as a group of people, and he could easily have said, go and make disciples. Teach them everything I've taught you. But he didn't do that. Because if he had done that, they would have made disciples, just like everyone else would, of the people around them, of their family, of their friends, of the people in Israel. But he was very specific. Go and make disciples. And he says, of all nations. Now, wait a second. We're not talking at a time when there was planes and easy, you know, public transportation. He's telling them, I want you to go to every planet on the world and share this good news. That's our command. And until the Lord returns, that is our number one mission, is to share the gospel and see the sanctity of human life. People think, oh, well, I don't want to really talk about that because that's a political issue. The sanctity of human life is inextricably intertwined with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In John 10:10, Jesus said, I come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. The Bible is just a book on life from the very first verse to the very last verse. So Americans have to be concerned to do this because we're commanded to. And then secondly, because really, and it really is heartbreaking, I'm like on a constant apology tour around the world, asking people around the world to forgive us because we are the greatest exporter of death. So not only is abortion killing little American baby boys and girls, 60 million since Roe versus Wade became law, which we know that has been overturned not too recently, but we have exported the whole philosophy of abortion being a basic human right. And we've exported it to Asia, to Europe, to South America, to Africa, and to every country on earth. So I think it has to matter. It has to matter, especially if you're pro-life. Absolutely. Do what you can with pregnancy centers here. I've led some of the largest pregnancy centers in the United States. My wife is the chief operating officer of a huge pregnancy center with 4 locations here in Colorado Springs. Of course, we should do everything we can for our communities and for our children and for our country. But the Lord commanded us to care about the rest of the world. And our country is exporting death at an unimaginable rate. You know, if the Democratic candidate happens to win this election, we're going to have the most pro-abortion human being leading the most powerful nation on earth. So what do you think will happen when you have that combination? The most pro-abortion human being, human leader in the world, leading the most powerful nation on earth. The consequences are there millions, if not tens of millions of more people, human beings made in the image of God, are going to be destroyed by abortion, and it'll be our country and our government that will be promoting it.
The name of the book is The African Awakening, Bringing the Message of Life to the World. LifeEquipGlobal.org. Is any truth to the rumor that your next book is going to be best yacht rock hits of the 70s?
You know, that's what I've been working on very, very heavily. I'm especially would like to do the big hair situation. In fact, I'm considering doing the big hair myself.
Raul, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us on Dear Jane.
It was awesome being with both of you.
Thanks again for listening to Dear Jane.
You can follow along every day on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and X. And make sure you also are subscribed so you never miss an episode on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, as well as YouTube. Ring that bell so you're notified and you never miss an episode.